You are listening to the Green Lantern Corecast, episode number 105. This episode, is that you, Hal?
Welcome, everybody, to the Green Lantern Corecast. I'm your host, Frank Mateo, and joining me today is my roundabout crew of merry knights. Kuhan, who's sitting in the back thinking to himself about great things.
So we're knights, right? Like Knights of the Round Table?
Knights.
Great exactly. Things?
Grape things.
Yeah, grape.
If we're knights, then Kuhan is horsewoman.
Can I be horse boy?
Look down at your genitals. I think you'll agree with me.
Okay, so we're gonna go and also Carlton. Carlton here, you know, always happy, always pleasantly charmed.
Always an immortal caveman because I'm Vandal Savage.
Yes, you are a caveman, Carlton.
Eric here, who's been cursed to forever to no knowledge.
Sorry, guys, I have knowledge.
And Brandon, our carefree caretaker, and make sure that none of us are drowned in our own spit or something. Brandon.
Indeed.
Thank you. Yeah. So today we're going to discuss the two fabulous Lantern-related comics that came out in the past 2 weeks. Red Lantern's number, what, three? Lantern number three or two?
It's the month of three.
I think it's the third one, right? You know, with this new fangled 52 nonsense. I forget what numbers we're up to. Red Lantern's number three, and Green Lantern's is number three as well.
Green Lantern. So pretty much yes, number three.
Green Lantern's number three. But before that, Brandon, tell us the sales figures of this upcoming DC hoopla.
The exact same as last month.
I thought it was better than last month.
Yeah, New Guardians sold better than everybody except for the main title. That's pretty cool, right?
Word.
I believe that's nice. Brandon, anything else?
No.
Okay. There you have it, folks.
No.
There you have it, folks. Our sales figures seem to be about on par to last times, but also apparently a little bit better. Also,
nothing more,
as decided by Brandon.
Never more.
So we're gonna kick off right now with Red Lantern's number three, the search for an eternal partner that Atrocitus has apparently been desiring for since the past two issues,
and heavily with ass shots.
And of course, Ed Bendis is cleverly having more ass shots in there, and also apparently the story continues to give us more insight as to Bleeze's crazy past, I suppose, and where the once guy Sinestro Corps member that once looked like Sinestro, apparently not looking like Sinestro anymore, came up with the idea to actually destroy her entire race and take her as a concubine. I gotta say, this seems to be one of those issues where I have no idea what to say about it. The entire thing starts out with Atrocitus trying to teach Bleeze how to be a better soldier or something or other. But it's complete. But doesn't agree with her function or how she perceives what matters of desiring vengeance. Yet, it's also tried to imply that Bleeze has more creative control over her own destiny than she was letting on to begin with. And most of it just keeps to throw in more riddles and enigmas into the pan, which I really don't see going into a pleasant fashion. Someone give me something else on this.
Something I wanted to note on was I like how Atrocitus, apparently, despite wanting someone with their own free will and idea about how to prove hate, immediately is like, that's not how you do hate. We only do it my way. Which is kind of a sad approach to someone who's supposed to be spreading hate. It's like, just one kind of hate? Jeez, tolerant bastard.
Brandon?
I don't know what to say. I'm sick.
I'm sick of this book!
He was sick of this book.
You know, thinking about it, one thing I am wondering is, how is this going to affect New Guardians, since Bleeze is one of the main characters in the book?
Well, clearly her mind state has to be changed.
Well, it'll probably have to happen in between arcs, if nothing else.
Yeah, I don't know if there's an immediate change for probably even into the second arc.
Probably because they haven't told Tony yet.
Exactly.
Depends on how Bedard, you know, decides to go with it, I guess. Eric, what do you think about the Red Lanterns issue?
I think it's obvious that the writer, can you hear me?
Yes.
I think
it's obvious
that the writer, Peter Milligan, didn't really know what direction he wanted to take with this and kind of made it up as he was going along. I think there's like two, it's funny because we all kind of said how the second issue is very abrupt in terms of the first issue as a cliffhanger where Bleeze is like, I'm going to lead a revolt against Atrocitus, and Atrocitus is like, who am I going to pick for my replacement? And then the second issue kind of just rambles off. And the third issue starts with Atrocitus apparently having already ignored the revolt and throwing Bleeze into the hole. You know, it's kind of like one of those things where it's like, we all know that Bleeze is going to be the second in command because that's who we've seen. And instead of, you know, instead of dealing with the fact that it's obvious, he just is like, I'm just going to ignore it and just go with it, you know? And then he kind of just reiterates Bleeze's origin and stuff. And I think my biggest problem with the issue is that a lot of people read it. It's like, oh, Bleeze is a total bitch. And she was a total bitch when she was a person. And she's a total bitch now. And it's like, well, first off, you know, she was raised to be nothing but pretty and had all dudes, just rich, ugly dudes would come up to her all the time and be like, I want to have sex with you because you're pretty. And she was like, no, because she's a human being and she's allowed to be like, no, I don't want to have sex with your ugly old ass just because you have money. And then after that, you know, you got to assume that she was, you know, tricked into joining a rape dungeon for a little while until she was mutilated and then became a vengeance demon. So her dickishness now is also justified. So I don't really know what – I think it's just kind of the male gaze.
Two things.
Character and stuff.
To that. One, she's not a human being. Two,
she's as human as a human, but yeah.
That's racist. And, no, it's not.
And two, if the worst part of this issue is the fan reaction to this issue, does that
No, I'm just bringing up. No, no. I think that it's just a matter of like, I think I...
And there he goes again. I think I would never read this book in a million years if, I don't know.
No, that's not nothing like what he would have said.
No, not at all. I don't know.
Yeah.
That was...
You know, I think the thing was, she was kind of stuck up at first. I mean, she really insulted the people who asked her out, like, you're a lowly peasant, why would you dare ask me? But that still doesn't mean it's not... It's more warranted after the fact, yeah. She has her reasons for being a bit of a pissed off person.
Yeah, I think she's a justified angry character. I like her dynamic, and I like the idea that the implication that she's again going to lead a revolt against Atrocitus and stuff with her vagina by the last panel. But in all fairness, I think this is the cliffhanger that he had, and I mean, I'd like to see him go there, but at this point, if he's going to change the story every issue, then what's the point of me getting excited? And what's with
the earth? Yeah, the earth shot.
To be fair, to her vagina, it was probably Ed Bennis's fault.
Apparently, Ed Bennis is—he knows that the most important part of every page is the space between the ass crack and the vagina. So he's like, I need to get this. This is what comic books is all about—the gooch. Yeah, I don't know. It's just a matter of like, I mean, how can you really get excited about this title? Because you know, Peter Milligan is obviously phoning it in. You know, and he just doesn't really seem to care. That we noticed, you know, and the constant references to like this other storyline every couple months, two pages about dudes in Britain that are angry. It's like, I see nothing to get involved with here, you know. And Peter Milligan's got a good perspective, and he likes writing these. I mean, he's good at writing these completely amoral characters and stuff. See, you know, his Justice League Dark, where Deadman is a straight up no apologies rapist, you know, and how that's kind of like his just new angle on the character, and you know, and it's nice to see Bleeze as an angle. It's just. Are you really getting – I mean, it's almost like every week we talk about Red Lanterns. We're like, this could be better. And it's like, it could be. I mean, we basically have a Space Punisher, and now we have, you know, space fill in the blank here for every other power-hungry female in the DC universe kind of a thing. So, I don't know. And the art is complete garbage. So, I mean, who have we been rooting for here, you know? And at the end, I mean, and Ed Bennis, besides the fact that the art is just ugly, it's complete failure in terms of art structure. I mean, I talked about this a couple times, but the last page – you know, Bleeze kills one guy, he's going to kill the other guy. It's just, no, I'm going to let you live. You turn the page, and when she's giving a beast speech about why she's going to let him live, immediately next to that, in a panel that's actually intersecting the panel where she's saying she's going to let the guy live, is Atrocitus killing the guy. So it's completely antithetical to the reading structure of a comic book in general, you know, so.
Atrocitus didn't want to let her finish that thought.
Yeah, but I mean, it's, well, I'm sure you're joking, I don't think you understand, but you know, but you know, but that's exactly what I'm talking about. There's no logic to the way the comic is played out, and even you get the sense of the structure of the dialogue. He's just banging it out, you know. I mean, I'm kind of more interested to see. Hopefully, this title goes for a while, and then nobody's looking at it. So Peter Milligan can go nuts up shit. But at this point, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm like beating it to death, but. After 3 months of kind of hoping this is going to be better, I'm kind of like, well, this is exactly what we were all afraid it was going to be. They're going to neuter all the violent characters, and then they're just going to make everybody else kind of like exactly what you expect them to be. So, you know, plus I don't trust solicits. Every freaking issue is going to be a brand new story. So, whatevs. Anyway, boo. That's my answer.
Nice, you know, well put. I mean, the entire story itself, it is sort of disjointed in the way that it's being presented, especially the entire. Again, from issue 1 to 2 and then to 3, and it's a continuation of 1 instead of a continuation of the second issue itself. But aside from that, let's move on. We're going to move on from Red Lanterns number 3 to Green Lanterns number 3, where pretty much we get the rest of the story as to what's going on with Hal Jordan, Sinestro, and the fake duplicate ring that's given to him. And also a sneaking shot of Carol Ferris, which I know Brandon loved that it was there at all. Yeah. Brandon?
Yeah, it's always a good thing when Carol's around. I talked to Eric before this, and we both agreed that this was the worst Carol has seen in some time.
Are you talking about the, when you're saying you're talking to me before? Are you talking about the DC NN cast on graphicsequential.com?
I am referring to the DC NN cast on graphicsequential.com.
That's awesome. Every week,
I also,
right?
Usually remember every week. Yeah, DC NN.
Have you fixed the 10-minute problem?
No.
So you're going to 10 minutes of Brandon and Eric and hope to talk about Green Lantern in that 10 minutes.
Stop.
Brandon, what were you saying?
I was saying that Carol has a slight obsession with Hal Jordan.
It's downright pathetic, yeah.
She can't answer the phone or make a sentence without... mentioning
uttering the words Hal. Yeah,
it's a problem.
The phone rings. She doesn't look
Hal.
Cell phones by necessity have caller ID. She answered. He goes, Hal. It's like, no, it's Tom. I've worked for you for about 20 years.
It clearly said Tom on your caller ID when I called. You know, Tom. Cool.
Maybe,
you know, last name.
Maybe,
he says the entire name too.
Maybe he called from an unregistered number. Okay, but still, you're gross that you think it's Hal right away. Then the first thing he says is, "Hey, it's Tom." She goes, "Are you here calling about Hal?" There's two Hal mentions in less than a sentence. And then she turns the TV on. She's like, "Hal?" I mean, obviously she sees Hal at this point, but she would have said it anyway. It was Herman Cain on the news or something. You know?
Hal! Herman Cain! I mean, to be fair, Herman Cain doesn't look a lot like Hal Jordan, though, so.
Well, they're both assholes, so yeah, that's pretty close. Yeah.
And pretty much his entire story is what's been building up since, like, issue one with Sinestro and Sinestro Corps and Kurugar. And we're getting a little bit more exposition-y stuff going on with Sinestro explaining what's going on for the past two issues. Kurugar is being possessed by the Sinestro Corps member, and they were apparently overrun with and going against his will, which is, again, weird since his entire will was to spread fear in any way possible. There was literally no, like, playbook Sinestro gave out to these people other than spread fear.
No, it's spread fear except in Korugar.
Which I don't remember him saying at all at any
right,
point
because,
in time.
Because he's supposed to be Space Hitler, right? Hitler was like, spread hate except for at my hometown.
No, but he basically says, like, it goes against all the tenets and principles I taught them, and I'm like...
No.
I don't understand. Like, that's not true. Because you said spread in general terror. And then, you know, if you did say don't mess up Korugar, that's not all your tenants. That's just your last order, you know. And they thought you were, like, dead or whatever. So it's stupid. It's completely stupid that he's this angry at them about this. It's just a character shift. This issue is the most exemplary so far of the kind of lazy shorthand writing that Geoff Johns is really guilty of. Instead of having stuff build up to it or justifying it in story or by character arcs, he just has stuff said and done. I mean... He teased for months that we're going to see Sinestro do something in this issue that no Green Lantern's ever been seen to do before. It's when he changed the costumes to black. And that's cool because we're all remembering the corpse, and that's awesome. And we've seen, if we all have read older Green Lantern comics, they could do anything they want. Kyle Rayner, when he was Green Lantern, not even 20 years ago, he can make red costumes and blue costumes, so that's completely moot. You know, but point in fact is, if that is such an amazing thing, why isn't it treated like a more amazing thing? The motherfucker just makes his shit black. I mean, why couldn't he do it with the yellow ring? And it's just something that he's just throwing in there to throw in there, you know? And then the sequence where Hal and Sinestro are having an argument, you know, where Hal's like, I'm going to go talk to Carol. And Sinestro's like, no, we got to save my home planet, you know? And Hal's like, no, I'm going to talk to Carol. And Sinestro's like, the longer you wait to do this, the less people will save. And Hal's like, whose fault is that? I'm like, yours, Hal. And I'm sure there's like a shift where we're supposed to kind of take Sinestro's side because that's what the title's kind of leading up to. And I say leading up to, and I mean beating you over the head with. But
speaking of beating in the head, Hal goes back to his punching habits.
Well, I mean, the least you could do is punch the guy. The blanket forgivable of this guy is just – it's absurd to me. You know, I think the most interesting bit in the whole issue is what I guess we're kind of all waiting for is the Guardians say we're going to create a third army. And, you know, if I did not think that meant that it was going to be a huge crossover in 2 months, then I would be excited about it. But I know what it means. So I'm not as excited about it as I could be. Just – and like I said, the whole Hal and the fact that – you know, Brandon was just so dumbfounded by the simplicity, like the directness of Carol assuming that Hal's going to propose to her when all of us as human beings are like, that's not what would happen, Carol. You know, the fact that he could not believe that's what she thought because it was just such a stupid thing for anybody to think, you know, that's exactly the kind of writing.
That was not my justification.
That was the nicest way I could put it. Without making you seem like you didn't understand how humans interacted with each other. But, you know, it's just generally speaking, it's like, it's shorthand writing, it's ugly writing, it's simplistic writing, you know. And it's like the fact that he's not even working to have Sinestro be redeemed. He's just redeemed, you know, like we're just done.
You know
what, redeemed
I now. I think what it is absent-minded writing. It's where Johns wants to get to a certain moment and he writes towards that moment and then that's it. You know, now everything else is for the next moment. I think he has a tendency to forget about everything else, and he just wants to live in that one moment. There's I don't want to mess up the quote here, but Sinestro goes on and says, we don't need to bring the Green Lanterns into this because they'll only get killed. Like, if you're how on earth can you agree with that?
Like, I know. It's absurd.
Entire core, a bunch of losers,
but, and that you could probably kill them all yourself. That's absurd.
Didn't he already kill all of them himself?
And where the fuck is Sornik? Like, how do you miss this rampage going on your home planet?
I don't understand why the Green Lanterns left it there. Like,
wait, rampage? Yeah, what's a rampage?
It's how fancy people say rampage. No, it's – and exactly, I think my whole problem with the Korrigar thing in general has been like Kyle Rayner was – the last time we saw – Kyle Rayner was on Korrigar in the Weaponeer arc, and the whole premise was that it was a faulty truce because after Blackest Night they had a truce and the Sinestro guys were on Korrigar, but the Green Lanterns had to stay there because they didn't want to take over the planet. Apparently they just all left. Like,
they just left.
There's just no writing. And when you're saying he wants to write to a moment, so he's writing towards the moment – my thing is, like, he's not even writing towards the moment. He's just writing the moment. Like, as opposed to being like, I have to set it up so Sinestro and Hal can work together to defeat a planet taken over by the Yellow Lanterns. He just says, there's a planet, it's taken over by Yellow Lanterns. Hal and Sinestro are the only ones who can do it because. You know, and he never ends his sentence past because. So it's why would you even – why would you read 60 issues of something if issue 59 is going to have different information than issue 60? You know what I'm saying? Point. Doug Monkey, his art looks great, but it's a little too – epileptic, like the story writing, you know, like the two panels where Sinestro makes a funny face and then laughs. Very awkward. Very awkward, man. I know Brandon said he liked it.
Very Silver Age.
I thought it was smile. Very creepy.
Just awkward, like
it was supposed to be creepy.
It reminded me of Herman.
Well, again, it's the first time anybody's ever seen Sinestro laugh. So it's supposed to be very, oh my god, that's creepy.
The fucking guy used to laugh all the time, you know? Like,
but not like that. Like that's general him laughing out of enjoyment that was funny to him. Not laughter, like evil laughter. Like he's like, I just made my way.
Don't you,
like,
don't you, like,
that was hilarious.
Don't you guys ever know that supervillains like laugh, like did the supervillain laugh when something was funny? Like, that was a great joke, Dane Cook.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you think everybody always assumes, like, oh, it's not the same thing as a supervillain. It's like, no, the supervillains aren't just laughing because they have, like, a tick. It's like they think it's funny. Like when Riddler puts Batman on like a speed dial that's going to kill him in 30 seconds, he's like, ah, ha, 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 ha. He's not laughing because that's his – he has Tourette's.
The Joker's
he's laughing because it's – It's hilarious.
No,
like,
that's,
and he just has a stupid sounding laugh.
The joke
but
is laugh.
Never how it's, but it's never how it's produced in, it's, actual, it's, in it's, actual medium.
It's never, no, that's different though, but it's never like Dr. Doom's like, oh my god, this is hilarious, I'm totally gonna kill Mr. Fantastic, that's so funny. Like, it's not that, it's like...
No, he does, because Dr. Doom only laughs when he's gleeful about killing somebody, like, so he's sitting there at a console like, now you'll die, because it's so funny, he's so enjoying that this guy's gonna die right there. Like, Sinestro blows up planets and he's like, waka, waka, waka. And that's really what he's doing, the waka, waka. So it's like, you know, he's basically just – he's laughing at the joke. But it would be funny if instead of like, like the Riddler laugh like we laugh like – it would sound stupid because you can't do those sound effects in comics, you know. So you look like an idiot if Dr. Doom is laughing like, you know, the girl at work laughs next to you where she just squeaks and makes a fart noise with her nose. You're like, that's not laughing.
You'd be upset if Sinestro was slapping his knee.
I want that now. I want somebody to like do a video where Dr. Doom just laughs like the funny girl, not the funny girl, like the stupid girl at work, right? Like he just laughs like.
Or like, yeah, just record Colton's laughter and throw it into like an episode of the Fantastic Four 1990s show.
You know? Like, you mean Colton's laughter? He goes.
No, not the fake laughter. Not the constructing his own life.
Isn't that the only time
that
Colton ever laughs? Because like we have literally gotten complaints on podcasts at our Power Rangers about that laugh.
Like,
we've
show you voice watching.
You've got the evil laugh.
Oh good.
Okay. Laugh a lot. Either way, and I think the cliffhanger is legitimate that he's exploding, but because you know it's interesting because it's like, well, where are they going to come out of this? But you know he's just going to get put back together. So it's kind of upsetting to think about that. Literally, the main character can be exploded into particles and he's still gonna live. It's like, so you're trying to kill suspense in general as well.
You know, I thought the cliffhanger was great, but I thought it could be even greater had Geoff Johns been the kind of guy that'll let shit last, you know, because this is
right.
this is the same series, same writer that took away his ring and gave it back a issue later.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, the setup for the ending wasn't as bad. I mean, the entire thing was, you know, led to the proper conclusion that you got what he wrote. It pretty much, you know, Hal died. Sinestro's literally looking at it like, oh crap, I can't believe Hal just died, and he's actually supposed to show somewhat of remorse. But again, that's all done by Doug Monkey, not really done by Geoff Johns writing.
You know, it's funny too because you know you also complain that there's yet another brand new character on Korugar, a woman that Sinestro has an affinity to. You know, like not just like the 65 other thousand characters we know that he hooked up with on Korugar, but also there's a character named Arsona, which is funny because I guess everybody on Korugar has these really like fucking nasty ass names. Like there's Diabolica and Nasty Ass, you know? Complete huge dickable. You know, like it's a little crazy. I mean, I guess Sornik's name isn't really.
I'm sure it's nasty. German for something.
It's sore.
Yeah, sore. Katmatui, I'm sure, is probably something.
Katmatui. Well, Katmandu? No, it's not. Cat tuna? Bumblebee tuna? Like, Bumblebee tuna, no!
Bumblebee tuna? Bumblebee tuna.
Yeah. Yeah, so I love this issue, obviously.
Obviously.
I still want to, you know, I feel like I'm obligated to say something extremely nice to make up for the Venom we just said.
You know what?
I have
something that's really nice, and it's true. When we were talking about this issue, I have a bag of Mike and Ike's from Halloween, like the little bags, and I opened it up, and one of them, it was all reds, like by fluke. So I got to eat all the cherries. That's good.
I fucking hate the red. What's your problem?
You're stupid.
I just bought a giant box of Mike and Ike's, actually.
So can you send me the reds?
I will definitely mail you the reds. I'm actually willing to do this. This is gonna happen.
No wonder. No wonder you're so.
Alright. Calvin.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on this? Have you seen that Kuon clearly hasn't read it yet?
Now, seeing as Kuon clearly hasn't read it yet, I'll have to give my opinion.
Well, I clearly haven't read it because I told you I have not read it. So
that's why I said it.
Yeah, no, I know, but
I thought the issue was fine. I mean, they do have a point that, yeah, it's probably not going to be a lasting ending, but I think that would be just a great twist for all this John's buildup of Hal, just to be like, yeah, he got disintegrated by Sinestro. Congratulations. I'm really enjoying kind of getting to see Sinestro in this role, seeing how he does things a little bit differently than Hal, because we've seen bits and pieces of his origin, but we've never seen anything really lasting with him with the Green Ring. It's just he was a Green Lantern once, then he was a dick, then he got a yellow ring. So it's nice to kind of see that in change. But I also like to see that they are bringing back some of the older abilities that we've seen before, like actually able to be able to change the color of constructs or dim the light, as it were. It's just nice to see that the ring can do a little bit more than they've shown lately, because it hasn't been the most impressive at times. But I'm definitely glad to see that. Unlike some of you guys, I actually thought the Sinestro expression in that one panel was just hilarious.
Yeah, I thought it was great, too.
It was just like Sinestro's like, hey, Hal, remember the Silver Age? Because that's what this feels like. Just grinning at him. They don't have fun anymore, it almost seems like. Just too much, oh, dark, we're going to die. Have some fun with life.
Well, I think if Jeff wanted to slow things down, which, I mean, he said openly that he doesn't want to do that, then we'd get fun moments or we'd get dramatic moments. And I think a series like this needs that drama. And we don't get that drama out of the characters anymore. We get it out of cliffhangers like we get in this issue. Or someone has to die in order for it to be suspenseful.
It seems like all we can really get out of it is out of other books related to Green Lantern where we get the emotional stuff.
It's either death or it's a ring change, you know.
Pretty
that's the suspense we get in Green Lantern these times.
Didn't it used to be an issue like during the Sinestro Corps War that the Human Lanterns were against killing other people because Hal seemed to have no problem creating a bazooka and blowing that fat alien's head off.
Yeah, that was it's pretty dramatic. I mean, that's the first one we've seen him really just kind of execute like that. I mean, Geoff Johns is kind of forgetting his own. I don't know. It's like. We've ripped on this guy for years, but he's run its course. Like, he really needs to step off the title for a bit because he doesn't have the focus for it anymore. You know, he can't
move
even,
on to something else.
He can't even pretend to have the focus for it.
The funny thing about that, I can sort of say that the only people that of the Earth Lanterns that gave any two cents about not killing anybody was Kyle Rayner and Guy Gardner. Those are the only
Guy
two.
Guy Gardner's killed a lot of people since then.
And Guy Gardner's killed a lot of people since then. But those are the only two Lanterns.
Not to be like whatever, but when Guy Gardner first showed up, he used to kill people like nobody's
left
business.
And right. He was ready
he used to
kill
like,
Hal Jordan.
Innocent people. Yeah. There's the whole Crisis in Infinite Earth storyline. He freed the shark from prison and then let him kill a bunch of guards just so he can get him to help him do something. I mean, it's like, and now he's kind of like, he's like, oh, he's a bad boy. It's like, no, he was a murderer. You know, like, not the same thing.
This is post brain damage.
If you could call it that. It was a strange era back then. But yeah, to say the least, that Hal Jordan actually killed a Green Lantern again. He never generally protested in any of the Green Lantern books that he was against murdering anybody, which is again,
it's an interesting choice that he was immediately punished for that kill by getting vaporized. Immediately after he blows the guy's head off, he's vaporized.
I'm kind of disappointed that it's not a setup because I think, at least for me. That I was going through it like, well, that's a stupid idea. You're just going to jump into the power battery? That seems like an idiot move. And then it turns out you're disintegrating.
It's obviously, I think Sinestro didn't know what was going to happen. And for me, that's like he really did build it like that. And then Hal's like, what, you thought you were going to get a battery back? Like, no, I didn't even want this. It's like, then what did you think was going to happen? And why would you make that the one thing that would destroy it? Like, as a matter of fact,
he has a sense of irony.
We see it very often that Green Lanterns will blow up their batteries to take out like huge swaths of enemies, you know?
Well,
couldn't he have just thrown his battery into the
He could
the
have. That's something, like, if you don't have to place it in anything, you could have just tossed it in there.
It's like, hey, I'm in here. It's like, Hal, I forgot to mention, the one thing you don't want to do is jump in there as a Green Lantern with the battery or else it'll kill you. What?
Apparently Hal Jordan like completely believes that, you know, you can just dive into, you know, power batteries. He's done it before. He's done it many times in the past. You know,
nothing's gonna happen if you jump into all the fear in the universe at once.
What is ridiculous? It's true. Mongo is supposed to still be on Kurugar. He's supposed to be imprisoned by Sinestro on some sort of, you know, spike or whatever.
Isn't he supposed to be? They should have kept him literally under the battery the whole time.
And speaking of, I guess Jeff. Absent-minded that he is, forgot about Sinestro and his whole ring. What's the word?
He can immediately deactivate all the other
rings. Deactivate rings, yes, sure.
Yeah, but I think he has to have a ring on. And is there a reason he can't have a yellow ring?
I mean, he is Sinestro. I just don't see the problem here.
if his battery trick got messed up, evidently someone's changed the rules. I mean, maybe it was the Weaponer. He joined the Sinestro Corps. He's the one who made the ring.
That would be.
It's definitely not the Weaponer.
If Tony Stark was fighting
not the Weaponer.
Hey, I'm just trying to give a valid excuse that could work in explanation.
No, because they repeatedly said that the Weaponer is not a character they plan on using the next year, and this is going to be addressed before then. So
I know. I was just saying, for the given situation, that's something that could have been done if they were willing.
So you're getting right. Direct evidence.
Right.
No, yeah. You know, I think it's just it's. I think there's actually a bit too where Sinestro hesitates when he says Sinestro Corps, and I thought it was supposed to be a joke about it. He doesn't want to call the Corps the Sinestro Corps, but it's in the oath that he wrote. You know, like he wrote the oath that says Sinestro Corps. So I mean, I think it's maybe he's supposed to be hesitating because now he doesn't like them anymore. But
he kind of realized that he was being a bit of a dick, and yet he can't take his name out of it.
Now that you're raping my sister, I don't like you guys so much.
Yeah, like, oh, that thing I told you to do to everybody? It's not cool when you do it to me, guys.
Please don't hurt my family and friends. That's not cool.
It's like, you know, pillage, destroy, murder. Wait, you're going to do it to my planet? No. I'm sorry. That's not in the cards here, bro.
And I do agree. Where is Cernic in all this? I mean, it is her sector. Shouldn't she at least be keeping an eye on Korrigar?
Or at least on Yolande, right? Is she there? No? Nope.
It points out the whole that Geoff Johns' Green Lantern characters don't really care about doing the right thing or fighting crime and stuff, and it's just very apparent and it's very upsetting.
I mean, even with the whole truce thing, you should think she'd at least keep an eye on to see how bad the place is getting.
Now, even if she's off doing some other mission in another sector, you would think Salik would say, hey, you know, your home planet's being pretty bad right now.
You would think they would send an entire squad of Green Lanterns there. At all. I mean,
they were there. I mean, so what the
hell? The weirdest thing about it is this truth doesn't make any sense. As far as we know, Guardians themselves don't like the other cores.
Yeah. They don't even recognize the truth.
They don't recognize any other cores. They don't recognize truths when they're said. Like, this entire thing that was played out with regular Lanterns going, okay, we're not going to attack you.
Sinestro still has a bounty on his head. That's all
exactly.
I'm saying.
Exactly.
It's just, there's a lot wrong with it. It's one thing for the Guardians to switch around because they're kind of playing them up as like these amoral whatevers, you know, and they're going through a lot of shit. But it doesn't make any sense that the Lanterns wouldn't have a problem with this, you know, and like, they were on Korrigar specifically for the reason of making sure this didn't happen. Why aren't they stopping it from happening, you know?
And if anyone gives me an explanation, it's because it's a new 52 and everything has changed. It's like, no, nothing has changed. Well, the entire story takes place afterwards of the issues that came out before it. You can't just say, oh, the truth didn't, something happened, or the Guardian said it was okay. It doesn't make any sense.
This issue, we got our first, our first taste of the new 52 beyond Hal's lines and his shoulders. Where we get the news broadcast, and apparently nobody has ever seen Sinestro before. So, I mean,
yeah, I think it's total nonsense because they're like, "Who is this guy?" I'm like, "He destroyed a lot of people.
He just came down from your planet like 2 weeks ago."
The Sinestro Corps war happened. You know, I mean,
remember that? This
strange purple alien. He looks like Sinestro, but he's wearing green. He clearly can't be the same person.
It just reminds me of like old X-Men comics where like, you know, Sabretooth, who was like a serial rapist and murderer, would show up in the X-Mansion and Wolverine would like beat him up, tie him up, and just leave him in the park. Like, I better not see you around here again, bub. It's like, that's wildly irresponsible, dude. It's wildly irresponsible, you know?
I'll put you next to this kindergarten. Don't do anything wrong.
I know, and it's like, and a lot of DC comics are like that. That's like that Kyle Rayner story with Effigy for the 90s special, and it's just kind of prove why that whole era was just as stupid as the era before it, you know? Because Effigy's like, I'm going to destroy all life on Earth, and Kyle's like, I'm going to throw you that way. You'll leave me alone forever.
I'll throw you that way. Unless that way has a black hole, that's not a good idea.
If we continue, we're going to end up talking bad about Doug Mankey, and he's a pal.
That's not happening. Never am I going to say anything bad.
That's
about
not happening. We're never going to say anything.
Honestly,
him.
Not even like we're friends with what's his name, Tyler Kirkman. I'll talk shit about that guy till the cows come home, and I don't even have any cows, you know. So where the hell are the cows? Fucking, I've not seen those guys in a long time. But no, Doug Mankey, the art is great in this. The art's never not been great in these comics.
Doug Mankey's a good guy.
His artwork is still one of the leading strengths of this book.
Why don't we just stop the cast now and start doing that commentary of First Flight that I want to do?
Hey, man, okay. I'm totally ready for that. Let's do it right now.
But yes, everyone stay tuned. Green Lantern, the animated series, comes out this Friday, November 11th, before anybody figures out when you're listening to this cast. But November 11th, 2011, first time Green Lantern animated series, hour-long special is coming out. Hopefully you stay tuned, watch it. We're going to give our reviews, and we're also going to do probably a commentary on the episode itself. So stay tuned for that. Aside from that, everyone, thank you for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed all our rants and reviews. And stay tuned next time.
May the power protect you.
We have to stay green, Frank.
Oh, yeah, stay green. Stay green. Remember that. Remember, stay green.
Be sure to check us out at www.thegreenlanterncorps.com.
You can also email us at contact@thegreenlanterncorps.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at @theGLCorps.
And be sure to check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/GLSpotlight.
You can reach our voicemail line at 313-GL1-2814. That's 313-451-2814.
Thanks for listening, and check us out next time, and please stop masturbating when I'm talking to you.
Be sure to check out Kirby Crackle, the performers of our opening theme, Ring Capacity, at www.kirbycracklemusic.com. Also check out the Roy Clark Method, performers of our ending theme, Sector 2814, at freeweb.com/RoyClarkMethod.
This magic green, it is the color green. It can do anything. Sometimes it speaks to me. It says, how? What have you done with your life? People around you keep dying. Use your will to right the wrong. And don't make us wait.
His mic got lost. Okay.
His mic got lost.
Wait, he can't find it anymore. He just lost in the middle of the.
Was it walking down the street or something?